without at least reading these scriptures that God has laid on my heart. You'll find them in the 34th Psalm. I begin reading in verse 1. This will be familiar to most of you who are here Wednesday night. It seems as though the Apostle Peter, and we're studying from the Epistle of Peter, he appreciated this 34th Psalm. Actually, he quoted it several times in his letters to us. He referred back to it and said, look, these are the principles of life. There are some simple, fundamental principles that are contained in the 34th Psalm that are universal. They apply in every age. And as we read through here, he's excited. David is excited. Now, of course, the subscription that's given concerning this psalm is during the time that he was before Abimelech, the king of Gath. He was running for his life. He was running from Saul. He was afraid of this king, of this strange country, and he wasn't sure how to handle the situation, and he acted like a madman. You can read about that in the 22nd chapter of 1 Samuel. Got to gnawing on the gate and drooling at the mouth and carrying on, trying to save himself. I mean, he was really afraid. And I think the reason he acted like he was insane before this king is he was trying to save himself. He was trying to deliver himself from Saul, who was pursuing him and wanted to kill him. And he wanted to preserve himself, and he tried to deliver himself. But he realized that his deliverance was not in himself, but his deliverance was found in the Lord. And he experienced that. I don't know if you realized or not, but the Bible contains just over and over again. This is the basis of the Bible is life experiences. People who have had experiences with the Lord. And I think that's why it's so important for us in modern-day Christianity, in today's Christianity, to hear about and to tell about and to continue to advocate those experiences that we've had with the Lord. It should admonish us and build us up. The psalmist begins in the 34th Psalm talking about praising the Lord, magnifying His name. And he wants everybody who's experienced these blessings of the Lord and the deliverance of the Lord to also join in and glorify the Lord. If you've been saved by the grace of God and you've experienced His deliverance, we have something in common. And David talks about that common joy that we experience. But before he concludes this psalm, he points out that there's an overwhelming principle of life that needs to be, that's advocated all through Scripture. And it boils down to this. You can either live your life with God, or you can live your life without God. Amen. And David is telling us in the 34th Psalm, it is just so much better to live life with God. This principle is set in concrete. I mean, it will never change. It never has changed, and it never will change. God favors those that are righteous. He turns His face toward those that are wicked. If you want God on your side, you've got to come God's way. But if you resist God and you live a life of evil and wickedness, then bad and evil will be upon you. Let's read, starting in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The word boast there has reference to your main thing of life. I know some of you have great professions. You have a great education. Some of you have great achievements of life. And David had great achievements as well, but he said, you know, none of that really matters. The main boast of my life is the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're a CEO of a company. It doesn't matter if you succeeded in life. It doesn't matter. These things are nothing in comparison to knowing the Lord, experiencing the goodness of the Lord. And that's what the word boast is having reference to. He says, my soul makes its boast in the Lord. The main thing I want people to see out of my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. You should feel that way. I should feel that way. Every member of the Lord's church should feel that way. David felt that way. He said the main boast is what? In the Lord, he said. He said the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Don't you like people talking about the Lord? Don't you like to hear others who have crowned Jesus the Lord of their lives? Who put Him first? He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Join me in praising the Lord. Listen, my friend, Jesus is worthy of our praise. We that have experienced all of these wonderful, great things in life, as well as throughout eternity, we need to magnify the Lord. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Join me. Let us exalt His name together. Collectively, let's unite in our praise. I think that's what we've done this morning. We've unitedly praised the Lord. We've glorified Him collectively. Some people don't understand true praise. Some people don't understand what it means to get excited about the Lord. There's people that don't understand shouting. There's people that don't understand getting happy or raising your hand unto the Lord. You guys do realize that, don't you? It scares some people. I was reading this past week out of a book, and the guy said, you know, he said, the greatest thing of in life, the greatest achievements of life are when you help somebody change. When you change people. And he was talking about spiritually. He was talking about bringing them to the Lord and their lives being changed. And I was looking at some of you, and some of you have came into this church and you thought we were crazy, and now you're acting just like we do. You know? Okay, Perry, you didn't have to raise your hand so loud. You know, you come in among us and you think we're crazy. You know, you come from a baptismal regeneration, and there's a lot of people that come in among us, and they, at first glance, they see shouting, and they see people really engaged with their heart in worship the Lord, really magnifying the Lord, putting their all into it, and it scares them. It's like that old patriarch of old who came across some friends, and he said, hey, come go with us and we will do you good. Tell you what, if you humble your heart before the Lord and you repent of your sins and you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you get full of the Holy Ghost, you'll find yourself from time to time doing a little stuff like that, won't you? Raising your hand, getting up and testifying before people, praising the Lord, being a witness and a testimony, magnifying the Lord. You'll go to other people and say, hey, join in with me. Let's praise the Lord. Let's magnify His name. Do you realize there's a lot of churches, they come together and they don't allow people to testify? Can you imagine growing up in church and never hear anybody testify? Can you imagine growing up in a church and never hearing anybody glorify the Lord? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine growing up in a church and never hearing somebody shout? Huh? Can you imagine growing up in a church where the preacher never cries? He never raises his voice? You know, he everything's just mundane. Nobody gets excited. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine growing up in a church where you never see anybody get on the floor and pray or get underneath the altar like we heard the sister talk about? Can you imagine going to a church where people never fall on their face before God and glorify His name? Can you imagine that? I feel sorry for people who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Paul said to Timothy, from such turn away. Listen, it's no good for you. It's no good for them. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, the church at Jerusalem, the church that met in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, there was some excitement there. There was some power there. And he was talking about this, and he was talking about glorifying the Lord, magnifying the Lord. Let me press on here. Let's exalt the Lord's name together. Why? Well, he moves from praising the Lord to some of the reasons, some of the blessings, some of the benefits that we receive from the Lord. how important it is for us to be mindful of how the Lord has blessed us, what He has done for us. So he says this. He says, I sought the Lord. Now there's several things that jump off the page as I read the 34th Psalm. There's words like seeking the Lord, like fear. That's the next thing that he makes reference to. He talks about not being ashamed or under condemnation. He talks about this brightness, this glory that comes upon a person who seeks the Lord. He talks about angels helping us. He's talking about the benefits and the blessings that come upon the people of God. Listen, they don't come upon the world. They come upon God's people. The Bible says angels are ministering spirits, and they are ministering to the world? No. Ministering to those that are heirs of salvation. Amen. Those that have been saved by the grace of God. Listen, I believe in angels. Angel came to Abraham. Angel came to Jacob. Angel came to Daniel. Angel came to Jesus. Angel came to Mary. Angel came to Joseph. Peter was in prison. All the apostles were in prison. The fifth chapter of Acts, an angel came and delivered them. When Peter was in prison a second time, an angel came, touched him, woke him, delivered him, opened the gate. The Bible teaches us that angels are encamped about the saints. Angels are encamped about those that serve God. Listen, if you want peace, that's another word in this 34th Psalm. If you want peace and you want prosperity, if you want a prosperous life, you must have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. You can't have peace till you know the Prince of Peace. All right, let's read on. He says, I sought the Lord. Okay, he's talking about seeking the Lord. And he heard me. Can you imagine being in a church where nobody ever seeks the Lord? Listen, the blessings associated with Christianity come from seeking the Lord. The Bible says in the 55th chapter of Isaiah to seek the Lord with all of your heart. The Bible teaches us throughout the Scripture how that people sought the face of God and experienced grace and favor through seeking the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the righteous man his thoughts, and turn to the Lord, and He will abundantly pardon. Point in that is when you seek the Lord, and truly seek the Lord, you've got to turn from your unrighteous ways. You've got to turn from your unrighteous thoughts. I sought the Lord. What happened? He heard me. Does the Lord hear us when we pray? You think that's a perk? We talked about this Wednesday night. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Does it matter who's praying for you? Certainly it does. Certainly it does. I'd rather have a righteous man praying for me than an ungodly man praying for me. Now, I'll be honest, even among this group here, there are some of you I'd rather have praying for me than others. Oh, come on. Yeah. David said, I prayed, I sought the Lord, and He heard me. It's a reason to praise the Lord, isn't it? That He hears us when we pray. Not only did He hear him, but what did He say in verse 4? He delivered me from all my fears. Deliverance came to him. He says, they looked. Who's he saying they? Listen, there are millions upon billions of people that could testify today that the Lord is not only one who hears us, but He is the one that delivers us. They looked in humility, in their weakness, they looked to the Lord. I believe there's people here this morning that if you would look to the Lord, He would also deliver you. You will never be saved by the grace of God. You will never experience eternal life till you look to Him for salvation. They looked! Millions have looked to Him and they were lightened. Their face, Their faces were not ashamed. There was a brightness that came over them. There was a glow about them. You can tell when somebody's been with Jesus. Somebody's been on their face before God. Somebody who's walking with the Lord. You can tell they brighten up. There's a glory about them. There's a, you want, ladies, you want a better complexion? Huh? You walk with the Lord. It'll help your wrinkles. Huh? I'll be honest with you, ladies that walk with the Lord, they're prettier than those that don't. I proved that Wednesday night, didn't I? Not only in the sight of godly men, but in the sight of God Himself. There's a beauty of a godly woman. But there's a glow. There's a brightness. He's talking about all the benefits of serving God, of having God in your life. He talks about if you want to have a good life, a long life, a joyful life, a life with peace and prosperity, then you have to walk with God. There's no other way of having that kind of life. Like he's talking about here. He said, I looked to the Lord. And he said, days gone by, they looked to the Lord and they were lightened. Their faces had lack condemnation in it. There was goodness upon them. You could just see it in their eyes. He says, this poor man cried. He's talking about himself being a poor man. He says, as a poor man, I cried in the Lord, and the Lord heard me and saved me out of some of my trouble. Glad you're following around along in your Bible, because that's not what it says. He didn't say, the Lord delivered me from some of my trouble. What's it say? Yeah, he said, the Lord heard me. He saved me. He delivered me from all of my trouble. Will the Lord deliver us from all of our trouble? The song that the choir did for us. Wow, think about that. A triumphant, do you want to live a triumphant, victorious life? Do you want to live the life of an overcomer? Do you want to live a victorious life, a triumphant life? Is that possible? The only way that's possible is for the Lord to be present with us, to help us, to deliver us from all of our trouble. We need God near. You need God near you. Now, there are times where we can offend the Lord and He won't hear us. Come on now. We can offend the Lord, but He was talking about here, the times the Lord heard him and delivered him from all of his trouble. He talked about the angels in verse 7 of the Lord encamping round about them that fear Him and deliver them. And then he says in verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. I think I'm going to stop there in my reading. And I just want to say a few final words. In closing, the options before us at the conclusion of this psalm, you can either have God with you or you can have God not with you. With God with you in life or God without God in life. Those are your choices. The choices are before you. And then he says, look, you know, I want you to taste and see it for yourself. You won't see it till you taste it. Living for the Lord is good. It's good to have angels encamped about us. It's good to have God present, hearing us and delivering us from all of our troubles. It's great to have a God who not only can deliver us, but who does deliver us when we call upon His name. It's a grand privilege to be able to pray to Him and seek His face. And He says, why don't you come and see for yourself this kind of life that is good. And I want to read one final verse. Notice what he says in the latter part of the 34th chapter. He says this, if you want to have a great life, And he appeals to the young people. He says, young people, listen to me. You can either have a life full of evil or you can have a life full of good. It's up to you. You can have joy or you can have despair. You can have peace and prosperity or you can have destruction and evil. And he tells about how that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, how that he watches them and beholds them. But he says in verse 12, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days? Do you want to have a good life? Don't you want to have a good life? Don't you want to have a good life? That's what he's saying in verse 12. Don't you want to have a good life? This is the good life. Knowing God, serving Him, experiencing, tasting and seeing for yourself that the Lord is good. You need to taste and see for yourself that the Lord is good in regeneration. You need to taste and see for yourself that the Lord is good in pardoning us from our sins. You need to taste and see for yourself that the Lord is good when He transforms us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. You need to taste and see that the Lord is good for yourself when He brings you from a state of despair and unrighteousness and condemnation to a state of being a child of God, born from above and on your way to heaven. What a wonderful God we serve. Come and taste and see for yourself that He is good. How that He'll bring deliverance in your life. Listen, there's more than just deliverance from sin. When He saves us, we become His. He delivers us many times in life. We have many Ebenezers. We have many places we can go back to and say, the Lord was there and He delivered me and He helped me. He brought me out of that despair. He brought my feet out of that miry clay of sin. He set me on a solid rock. He brought me out of the pit of despair. God is there to deliver us. What a blessing to have Him as our God. Amen. We have reason to glorify Him, to magnify His name. But you need to taste and see it for yourself. You'll never see it till you taste of it. You can't just put it to your tongue. You gotta go all the way. You have to consume it. You know, you can't taste something unless you really chew it and eat it. You know, that's what he was talking about. He was talking about really plunging your life into God. And then you'll see for yourself that the Lord is good. We're going to stand and sing a verse of some song. If you're here today, you've never been saved by the grace of God. You either live in your life with God or you're living your life without God. You're either God is for you and with you or He is against you. His face is either toward you and He has His holy angels encamped about you or demons, the demons of hell, soar about your head. Perhaps even fill your heart from time to time. Either saved or lost. Amen? Amen. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. My friend, going to heaven is a whole lot better than going to hell. Walking with the Lord and living the Christian life, it is the good life. If you want to have the good life and you want to see good days, the psalmist says you got to come to the Lord and taste and see for yourself that He is good. Come to Him as we stand. As we stand and sing a verse of some song, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will save you from your sins. He will deliver your heart. Come to Jesus Christ. Turn from your sins. Trust in Him with all of your heart. Humble your heart in the sight of God. Humble yourself before Him. This morning you can come to this altar. And if you'll come and say, Lord, I'm done with the world. I'm done with sin. I want You in my life. I want Your blood upon my soul. I want Your Spirit resting upon me. I want Your wisdom. I need Your peace. My friend, if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will set you free. He'll set you free. Oh, the shackles of sin will drop. been released from his cage. Complete and absolute deliverance. How is it with your soul? Do you want the good life? I'll tell you what, I learned from my parents, this is the good way. Living for the Lord. I saw what it meant to have a Christian home. Wanted that. My friends, they didn't have that. Parents didn't serve the Lord, didn't love the Lord, didn't go to church, knew nothing about eternal life or salvation. Their lives and their homes were full of drunkenness and despair. But we had Jesus. Wow. My parents, in their practice, in the way they lived their life, they conveyed to me just the same thing that David said. Young people, listen to me. Children, that's what David said in that psalm. Listen to me. If you want to have a good life and see many good days, here's where it's at. Serve the Lord. Make the Lord first in your life. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you. Listen, I found it to work. You can find it today in your heart and life. No matter what used to be, no matter what your life was like before, you could leave this place changed. Amen. You can leave this place a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. The blood of Jesus can be applied to your heart today and you'll be changed. You'll be set free. Your life will be totally rearranged, man. It's real. And you'll be walking in the good way. Come, come, come to this old way, this good way. Walk in the good way. Walk in the Lord's way. This is the way to eternal life if you'll come. We're going to continue to sing. If you're here today, God is here and He's tugging at your heart. He's drawing you to a place of repentance and faith. Just surrender. I mean, just yield it up. Just surrender. Just yield to Him. Just drop it all. Just drop your life before the Lord. Just yield to Him. Say, Lord, I'm yours. I want to walk in your way. He'll save you from your sins. Let's sing. Would you come? Is there someone here today? You don't need to leave here today without Jesus. Do you really want to have a good life? I've seen the misery of the world, and you have too. Satan and all the world has nothing to offer you. But Jesus came. He died on the cross. He resurrected the third day. And He stands with His arms outstretched. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise God. Rest. Rest in life. Rest. Oh, how good the Lord is.